I've mentioned to you in the past, I think maybe from quoting a book, I have a friend in California, Dudley Rutherford, lives right in the LA area. He's a preacher there, a church of about 15,000 people, actually. And Dudley is very active, his church is, in that community. And I've been keeping up with him with the fires that have been going on there in the LA area. I listened to a post video that he had just this morning. And his church has lost 30, his church has 30 families who have lost everything. And of course, 10,000 structures have been burned to the ground, he said. And you've seen the pictures on the TV. And I wanted you to know that when you give your offerings here at Reinhardt, not only do they go to affect the ministry here, but really our money goes to affect ministry around the world. And our elders and deacons, just this last week, as I was sharing with them about Dudley and his church, we're sending $1,000 tomorrow to that church to help people who are in need. So keep that in mind, and thank you for your faithfulness in giving. But your money is being used to help people who are in dire need. I think it would be good if we pray right now for those folks out there who are struggling so. God, I thank you for the generosity of the folks here at Reinhardt, and that we can help fellow Americans and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ on the other side of the country, the other side of the world sometimes through our giving. And so help us not only to give faithfully, but help us to pray faithfully for these who are in need. You know what their needs are, and Lord, you know the stress, you know the hurt. And it's not only those on the West Coast, but we know those on the East Coast with the hurricane a while back. Lord, they're still suffering. A lot of them are. And so help them, please. In Jesus' name, amen. With us canceling service last week, I haven't had the opportunity to wish you a Happy New Year. I want to do that at this time just to, together, we can be thankful. Not only for what we've had in 24, but what we have to look forward to in 25. I want to encourage you to dedicate this new year to Jesus and just promise him that whatever comes your way, that you are going to be totally his, that you are dedicating your life to him, and you're going to trust him. You know, we don't know what the future holds, but we do know the one who holds the future. Amen? And he is worthy of our trust. You've heard me say this before. There are no better hands to be in than his hands. And so we dedicate ourselves to him. May you dedicate your life, your family, to Jesus in this new year to come. You know, one of the things that I like to do as the new year comes upon us is to get away, to have a time of solitude, a time of prayer, and to think back of the year that's just passed, and to thank God for his blessings that he has poured upon me and my family, and the grace that he has given to us. And certainly not everything has been rosy, not everything has been good or easy, but he's got us through. And He is faithful. And I trust that He will continue to be faithful. I know that He will be in this new year to come. We don't know what will come our way. But we know He is on the throne. He is in control. And we trust Him with our whole being. Over the last several years, I've done all of my preaching under the umbrella of a theme for the year. And looking back, we've had these as our different themes for the various years. In 2020, that was the year of COVID. It was the first year that I preached underneath the umbrella of a theme, and that theme was Desperate for God. And I think that was a very timely theme for us during that year of COVID. And then, of course, 21, another appropriate theme, victory. God gives us the victory through His Son, Jesus Christ. In 22, we talked about follow Me, and Jesus, of course, said that. He's calling for us to follow Him with our whole life. 23, we talked about being rooted in Jesus. And 24, the year that's just passed, we talked mission possible. The fact that He has given us that great commission. And it is very possible as we look to Him. And so, what is the theme for this new year of 2025? And this is what the Lord has led me to. And the theme is this: all of us, all in, all the time. Let that sink in for a moment. In fact, would you say it with me? All of us, all in, all the time. You've heard the person on the sidelines versus the person who is in the game. And that's what I'm getting at with this theme. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit wants to impress upon us all through this year, through the preaching, that we would not be that person who is just on the sidelines, watching, maybe even cheering for those who are working, but rather that we would be right in the middle of the action, that we would be serving Him with all of our life and all of our being, that we would be involved in the work of the kingdom. All of us need to be all in all the time. And Satan tries his best to keep us from a decision for Jesus. He will do anything he can to detour us, to distract us, to delay us from making a decision for Jesus. And most of us here today have resisted that. And I'm praising the Lord for that. Most of us here today have said yes to Jesus as Savior of our life. If by chance there's someone here today who's never said yes to Jesus, you've never given your life to Him, I would encourage you to do that sooner rather than later. How can you go wrong with the forgiveness of all your sins and the weight of those sins being gone? It's a decision that you will not regret. And you'll make that decision and you'll say to yourself, why did I wait so long? You know, I should have done that a whole lot earlier. If you need more understanding about that decision to accept Jesus, I want to encourage you to grab me or Elijah or one of our church people here. Just say, hey, I need to know more about this decision for Jesus. 2 weeks ago, the last Sunday that we were together, after church, there was a young gal, Presley. She actually had Riley come get me. And I was out in the parking lot. I had walked somebody to their car, and I was talking with them. And Riley stood there, and I could tell that she wanted to to speak to me. And so I finished my conversation with these folks, and I turned to her, and she said, hey, Presley wants to talk to you. She's ready. She wants to learn more about this decision of Jesus. Well, that's wonderful. And so I came in and got with Presley, and we set up an appointment for that week. We met at the coffee shop, and Riley was there, and Kayla was there, and another gal, Taylor, she came. And I talked with both of them about their relationship with Jesus and how to come to Christ. And here in a couple of weeks, they're going to both be baptized. They're trying to rally their family to come and be a part of that decision. I tell you that because maybe there's somebody else out here who needs to make that decision for Jesus. You've never done it. And all it takes is for you to say, hey, I need help. I want to learn more. I feel like God's leading me in that direction. And there's nothing that we would love more than to sit down with you and share with you the truth about Jesus. Now, Satan is not happy about that. He doesn't want you to make a decision for Christ. But if you do make a decision for Christ, he's not going to give up. He's going to keep on working. In fact, he wants at that point then to help you become a sideline Christian. In other words, he wants you to be someone who's not all in with Jesus. He wants you to be just an observer, to be wearing the name of Christian but not practicing being a Christian. In fact, think about this. He's okay with you even coming to church. Because you know what? He comes to church. Have you thought about that? Satan is in church every Sunday. And if our eyes could be opened to see the unseen world, I think we would be shocked. And we would be running to Jesus. We would be crying out to Jesus for help. Because there is a spiritual battle that is going on. Maybe even in this room. In fact, I think probably so. Every Sunday in this room, he's here lurking, trying to distract you and me from worship. During the singing, he's wanting you to go through the motions. He's okay with you going through the motions, but he does not want you to have the heart. He does not want you to have the spirit of worship. In fact, he'd rather you just not even participate. He'd rather you be totally distracted from what is going on with the worship. And then when it comes to the message, I think he does everything he can do to keep you from hearing the message. Because what's being spoken is the Word of God. Now, I understand, I'm not the great communicator. I'm not the greatest messenger of God's Word. There's a lot of folks out there who are much better communicators of the message than what I am. But I do know that I am preaching to you the Word of God. And Satan doesn't want you to hear it. And he's working. I want you to recognize what he's trying to do. He's working to distract you. He's working to disengage you from God's Word, because he knows that the Word of God can change you forever. He knows that herein is life. You remember what Peter said to Jesus? He said, Lord, where else would we go? Because you have the words of life. And Satan doesn't want you to hear the words of life. And so he'll do his tricks. He'll try and get you totally distracted from what's being said. Why don't you just get on your phone and see what's going on in the world while the message is being preached? That's a pretty good tactic that he has. Why don't you just go to sleep? Why don't you... Aren't you thirsty? Aren't you needing a bathroom break? Now, I'm not saying, you know, when somebody gets up and goes to the bathroom that that's the devil, because when you gotta go, you gotta go. Okay, I understand that. I understand it more and more at my age. But I do know that Satan has a lot of tricks. And he'd love for you to just go, just get out and not hear what's being said. There's lots of tricks that he has. The fact is, he wants to distract you. And again, if we could see everything that's going on in the unseen world, it would just absolutely shock us. The battle between God and Satan. And the battleground is your soul, my soul. And so the challenge is this. All of us, all in, all the time. Let me tell you, Jesus was all in for us, wasn't he? He left the splendor and glory of heaven to come here. He and his Father had never been apart for all eternity. They had been together for all eternity. He had the worship of the angels. He was in all authority in heaven. He was on the throne, and all the glory was his, and all the authority was his, and all of the dominion was his. And yet there was a window of time in which he said, I'm going to let all that go, and I'm going to go down to this earth, and I'm going to give my all for those whom I have created. And that's exactly what he did. He came here. He took on flesh. He took on our weakness. He took on our humanness. That means he could feel pain. That means he could feel hunger and thirst. And that means he was an open target for the devil. And you know, Satan just, I mean, he was pouring everything he had towards Jesus, temptations and struggles, and he was ridiculed. He was spit upon. He was hated and rejected. He was misunderstood. He was beaten unmercifully. We can't even begin to imagine the pain inflicted on him in those final hours. And to think that he volunteered to do that. He volunteered to go through that. It wasn't that the Roman soldiers and Pilate and the Sanhedrin, it wasn't that they were stronger than him and they manhandled him to that point of death. No. They were all just working themselves into his plan. This was the plan of God. For Jesus to come and become the sacrifice for our sins. He gave himself up for us. He was taking that punishment upon himself. That's why he came here, to be the sacrificial Lamb of God. He was all in for us. It only makes sense then that we would be willing to be all in for him. All of us, all in, all the time. All of us. That's the first phrase in our theme. Not some of us, not a portion of us, but all of us. That means you and me together, from the front row to the back row, young and old, male and female, married or single, whether you're brand new to Reinhardt or if you've been here for 50 or more years, all of us collectively and individually, all in. What's that mean? Our whole commitment is to him, because he committed his whole self to us. Our love is to him because he first loved us, and he gave his all for us. Our devotion and our worship is to him because he's deserving of nothing less than that. Our time is his. Our money is his. Our hands and our feet are his. Our mind is his. Our eyes are his. Our service is his. He calls us to be all in. Not one foot in and one foot out. No, all in. Listen to some of these passages of Scripture that call us to that kind of commitment. And actually, these are Scriptures that we looked at last Sunday. If you received them over the prayer text line or on the church Facebook page, I had these Scriptures listed for you to look up. Let me read them to you. This morning, again, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 39. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." This is Jesus talking here, and I'm thinking from that passage of Scripture, he's calling us to be all in with him. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Again, it sounds like Jesus is calling us to be all in. Let me read to you from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. "As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, and casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. Just as he called these early disciples to follow him, to be all in with him, so too he's calling you and me to be all in with him. Actually, a part of my sermon series in these early months of the year is to look at some of these folks, such as Andrew and Peter and James and John, and there's a whole host of them from the New Testament that we are introduced to. And as we see their story in these New Testament books, I think we'll conclude that these people were all in with Jesus. We want to take a look at their individual stories, their lives, and see what all of that looked like. And I think their commitment to being all in with Jesus will inspire us, will encourage us to be all in as well. Let me read a couple of other passages of Scripture to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I'll quote that one to you. Jesus is saying, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." And how about Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? The Apostle Paul is writing this passage of Scripture. And here's his challenge. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Notice Paul is calling for us to be living sacrifices on the altar of God. My professor in college, Don DeWelt, used to say, "The problem with living sacrifices is they keep wanting to crawl off the altar." I think he was right on in saying that. But the challenge for us is that all of us to be all in all the time. Not part of the time, not some of the time, but all the time we are to be all in with Jesus 24/7. Now here's a couple of questions as we contemplate that last phrase, all the time. Does that mean we have to be perfect? No. We can't be. We won't be. And that's why we're so thankful for His grace. Where we fall short, His grace cleanses us and washes us clean. We are saved by His grace. We're not saved by our own goodness. We're not saved by our own ability to give enough or to do enough. No, it's by His grace and His grace alone that we are saved. Am I saying that we have to be doing something for Him 24/7, never a break? No, I'm not saying that either. Just simply what Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus." First Corinthians 10:31 says, "Give glory to Him. Give glory to Him all through your life." That means whatever we do in our life, we're seeking to please Him in every way and honor Him and give glory to Him. When we go to work, we work in such a way that He's glorified. As we go to school, we let our light shine and we glorify Him. As we do business, as we drive, as we play, as we're at the ball game watching our kids play, we conduct ourselves in such a way that He is glorified. I was watching one of the football games here Thursday or Friday night, one of the college games. One of the players had, I think it was Romans 8:28 right here under his eyes. I thought, that guy's a Christian. Next thing I know, he's face to face with somebody and punching them. I'm going, how's that fit? Now I know we are human. I know we mess up, and I know we fall short. But whatever you do, whatever I do, we are to be trying to give glory to Him. That's what we're talking about. All of us, all in, all the time. That we're pointing people towards Jesus, not just with our words, but with our life. And what we're posting on social media and how we're responding to different situations, that we're all in, all the time, giving glory to Him. That's the message I will be preaching to you in this year to come. And actually, the next 2 weeks, Elijah is going to give you that challenge as well. Elijah is going to be up here 2 weeks in a row challenging us in this area. You may or may not have heard about the staff changes that have been taking place here at Reinhardt that are very connected with our theme for 25. We've had it on the Facebook page of the church. We've had it in our church newsletter. Maybe you've seen it. This isn't new news to you. Maybe for a few of you, this is new news. For several months over the last year, our church leaders have been talking about church growth. The reason for that discussion has been that our church had a pretty good year in 24. Praise the Lord. And we want that to continue to happen. We want more people to come to Jesus. We want more people to come into that relationship with Him. Not just the initial decision, but to grow, to become rooted, going back to that theme from a few years ago, to become rooted in Jesus. And so one of the things in our discussion over the end of 24, and I think the decision was actually made in October, is that we wanted to hire a part-time person, preferably from within the church, to work as an involvement minister. And thus, there is that connection with our theme for 25. And an involvement minister, you may say, what's an involvement minister? An involvement minister is simply someone who's going to be working and giving attention towards helping us be more involved in the work of the kingdom and to encourage growth in Jesus. That's what the involvement minister would be doing. And we put together a job description. The elders were giving a thumbs up to that, and let's find that person. And we were praying, and for a couple of weeks we were praying. And after a couple of weeks, And I will tell you too, Elijah was in on that discussion. Elijah was hearing what was being said, and he was participating in that discussion along with me and the elders. And in a couple of weeks, Elijah came to me and he said, "Hey, I want to be that involvement minister." I said, "Really?" Yeah, he said, "I feel God's calling me to that." And so, we talked about that. We talked about that, and he said, "Now, if that would be agreeable to the leadership of the church, then I would give up the children's ministry side. I'd keep the middle school and high school ministry, but I'd give up the children's ministry side." And so we went to the elders, he and I did, together, and presented that to them, and we had a great discussion together, and they unanimously said yes to that. Our elders love Elijah. We love you, Elijah. And we have great confidence in Elijah and his family, and we want to hear their voice. And when they spoke, when Elijah spoke, we listened and said, "Yes, we want to do that." And I said, but we really can't make this transition until we have the children's ministry taken care of, because we have so many young families in our church, and this is a blessing that Reinhardt enjoys. I said, we cannot leave that children's ministry unattended to and send a message that isn't an important thing to us. And so let's make all of this happen together. And everybody was in agreement with that. And so Elijah and I, we put our heads together and came up with a job description for a children's ministry. And that was going to be a part-time position within the church, preferably. And we began to pray that God would lead us to the right person. And you know what? I think He has. He has led us to Haley Johnson. Haley, raise your hand. Okay. Haley is already involved in the children's ministry here at Reinhardt, and her family have just been here for a year, but they'd already jumped in and were involved, and we thought, she's the gal. And we approached her, and after the shock wore off of our asking her, you know what she said? She said, "I think my heart is being drawn to this." That's what we want to hear. And so lots of things have been happening over these last few months. I want to encourage you to be encouragers to Elijah and to Haley, and pray for them. Pray for them to be taking on these new challenges and to be led by God, and to that our church family together can benefit and God to be glorified through these transitions that are happening with our church staff. Now, changes are not easy sometimes. And so I want to encourage you to let change happen, to support change, to encourage those who are a part of the changing that's taking place. And you know what? Not only to pray, not only to encourage, but to jump in and help, to be willing to be involved in ministry. That's what we're wanting to see happen. I think that's what God wants to see happen. And you may be sitting there and thinking, I don't know. I I've done my part. I've given my time. At my age, I can't do anything more. Oh, yes, you can. Because you can pray. And that's one of the most important things you can do, is you can be a prayer warrior and you can be an encourager and not be a sideliner just saying, go, 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 Elijah and Haley and Kevin and others that are working, but that we all are involved in the work of the ministry.